Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org.
Hey, everyone. How you doing? All right. If you're watching on live stream, glad you're tuning in. Y'all look great this morning. Hey, turn to neighbor. It's kind of my tradition. Turn to your neighbor, look at your neighbor next to you, across the aisle from you, maybe behind you. Look at somebody, and if it feels uncomfortable, it means you're doing it right. Look at them and stare at them deep in the eyes and say, You have beautiful hair. Yeah. Soak it up. You don't know what you got till it's gone, y'all. All right? Take it from me. If you got it, rock it, okay? If you don't, you rock that as well. But I was really hoping somebody was going to say that. Anyway, let me move on. Hey, if you want to know where we're going to go today, we're going to be in Luke 22, verse 39. It's on page 877 in your pew Bible. So if you're like, hey, I want to be ready and prepared, we will have it on the screen, but it's always, I like looking at a Bible. So 877. While you're doing that, I got a couple announcements. One is there's a baptism class that's coming up September 8th. And if you're in here and would love to get baptized, we want you to join us for this. You sign up online, and it's just a cool way where we can celebrate with you, and we could talk about, okay, what is baptism? Why do we do baptism? And what's the purpose, and what does it look like when we do it at Salem Alliance here? And so it's a really cool thing to do. Sign up online if you haven't been baptized. We'd love for you to join us with that. And the second announcement is I got a rose over here, which I'm pumped about. And roses here at Salem Alliance signify that somebody has accepted Jesus for the first time. And that's always something we celebrate. Last week, it was Annalisa Irwin, who's a five-year-old and nailed a ribbon in the cross. Awesome. That is awesome. Pumped for her. Hey, let me introduce myself because some of y'all know me. I know some of you, but not everybody. And so, my name is Sean O'Connor. I'm the young adults pastor here at Salem Alliance. Oh, wow. Okay. I appreciate that. That didn't happen at any other service. Okay. I don't know what that means about those other ones. You guys are my favorite right now. Okay. So I get to work with 18 to 30-ish, it's kind of a gray area, but 30-ish year olds who are single, who are dating, who are married, engaged, with kids, no kids, single parents, like everything in between, and I love it. It's really fun. I love what I get to do, and often when I'm on this platform, if I kind of look familiar, usually I'm leading worship, and so if I don't know what to do with my hands because I don't have a guitar, then that's probably why. Usually I'm up here leading worship, but today, for whatever reason, Rob trusted me to speak, so we're going to give it a go. It might be a one and done, if you know what I'm saying, but I'm excited to be here. And usually if there's a new pastor, they kind of show a picture of their family, and this picture is normally like them in Disneyland, like, or in Vail. It's like curated, perfect manicured lawn or something, but that's just not real life, amen? That's not real life. So here's my family. This is a little more accurate to real life. So there's me, and then next to me is my five-year-old son named Summit, like a mountain summit, and you try saying no to that face, okay? It is very difficult. He's actually super sad right here because Jill and I were going to leave on our anniversary trip, so we were going to be gone for a couple days, and so he did not want us to leave, which was so sad. And then that's my beautiful wife, Jill. And she's amazing. Actually, side note, Jill is the one that always does the stage design stuff. So if you ever wondered, she's the one. We can give it up for her. Mm-hmm. She did not want me to give her that shout out, but I got the microphone, so I did. And and then Maverick. And Maverick is sticking his tongue out. Classic. He's my 7.5-year-old. He's a rock star. Really good soccer player, and I love these guys. I call them cheeky monkeys because that's a perfect example of what they are. We also have a dog named Goose, so we have a Goose and a Maverick, and any Top Gun fans out there? A few of y'all, yep. Hopefully Goose won't die soon. But anyway, and then we have a cat named Duke Silver. Any Parks and Recs fans? Okay. Wow. All right. Now you get that reference then. Okay. And that's all I got. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to transition to the actual message here. So will you pray with me? Jesus, I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful that you have given me a message for this morning that 3 weeks ago I didn't know I was going to share. I thought we're going in a different direction, and yet you called me to this. So Holy Spirit, give me the strength. Walk with me through this, and will you speak? Will you be the voice that touches us here, that speaks to each one of us here, that speaks to those listening on live stream? Will you be the one that's calling us into more with this invitation? We trust you, and we love you. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, it is August. And here at Salem Alliance, the month of August, we call it Family Gathers because we encourage our elementary, middle school, and high school students to join us in the main. So let me see, where are those students? Any students here? Yeah, all right. Well, welcome. Let's give it up for our students. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Glad you're here. And we are in a series called, can anybody guess? Oh, it's not up there. Okay. I Spy. Yeah, well done. Well done. We're in a series called I Spy. If you couldn't tell by these I Spy books here or in the lobby, who has done an I Spy book before? Show of hands. Yeah, almost all y'all. These books are amazing, right? They're iconic. They're legendary. They're amazing books. Most of us have experienced them, but have y'all experienced the scary ones? You know, you're like, oh, I'm getting a little nervous here. For reals, there are scary I Spy books out there where the author made like scary versions. I'm going to show you one. Heads up, okay? If you don't like clowns, don't look. Oh, it came quick. Look at that. That's terrifying. To me, I'm like looking at it like, why? Why would we do this? Why the clowns? I don't want to hug you. They're not a very like welcoming thing. And the scariest part of this is, check this out. We got a beardless Rob in the corner here. I don't know if you saw that, but somehow he made the I Spy picture. For whatever reason, when you see clowns or beardless Rob, it strikes fear in your, maybe terror or dread. Just kidding about the Rob. But fear is actually what I want to talk about today. I Spy fear. Fear is something that we all experience. It's something that we can search for and find in anyone's story, even Jesus's story. I spy fear in Jesus. Now, I know that might stir up something in you, like, wait a second, what? And we'll get there in a second. But track with me on this. Before we get there, I want to ask you this question. Why don't you turn to your neighbor, who you said had beautiful hair, because now you're really close, and answer this question. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Literally, talk to your neighbor. Ask him, what are you afraid of? Answer that question. Let's see how deep we're going to go this morning. What are you afraid of? Okay, I want to hear some of these answers. I know this is going to take some vulnerability. It'll take some boldness and some courage. But what are some of those answers? What did you guys say? What are you afraid of? Shout them out. Let me hear. Oh, wow. That's amazing. I heard snakes and spiders. Can I get an amen? Anybody afraid of snakes and spiders? Yes, that's a good one. Okay, hold on. I heard some here. What did you say? Moldy food, that's a new one. I am terrified of that as well. That's a great. So many stories where you eat that strawberry and then you look at the rest of them and like, oh no, what have I done? Okay, that's good. Okay, what else? Sorry, say it again. Missing out. That's a very legit one. Thank you for being vulnerable with that one. I appreciate that. You're not alone in that. Oh, I see some hands. Well done. Well done, yes. Spoiled milk. We got a theme. Somebody's hungry here. That's fair. Okay. Okay. Wait, there was one more back here. Sharks. Anybody else? Yes, I love surfing. It's like literally one of my favorite things. But the rule is you don't talk about sharks when you're out there. It's like somebody does that, you flip them over on their board. And you're like, okay, what else? Yeah. Cats, just cats in general. Yes, you never know what they're thinking, right? I have a cat and I'm always like, you're like 2 seconds away from trying to kill me. Okay, yes. That your leg won't heal correctly. Did I hear you right? Okay, well maybe we need to pray for that. Thanks for sharing that. What else? What are you afraid of? Yeah. Sorry, say it again. When Satan attacks you. Amen to that. That can be terrifying. Thanks for sharing that. And yet the beautiful thing, and what we're going to talk about a bit today, is along that line, that we can have freedom and we don't need to fear that. But that is a legitimate fear. Thanks for sharing. Fear, what are you afraid of? A few months ago, I got to go bungee jumping. Mm-hmm. And I got to go bungee jumping. I planned this event with young adults. You guys, it's a tough job. Somebody's got to do it. So I was like, fine, I'll do it. And we went bungee jumping. I don't know if you know this. The tallest commercial bungee jumping in North America is in our backyard. And so I was like, it's kind of irresponsible for us not to do it. So yeah, let's make it an event and let's do it. So we take 9 young adults, go bungee jumping. I got a little video. Enjoy this. This is me.
Out to that pink X.
Oh yeah. Woo! Sweet Moses.
Phew, y'all. Yeah, for reals, 2 years, we're going to do it again. Every year we go skydiving or bungee. Like I said, it's a tough job, you guys. Next year we'll be skydiving, but if you raise your hand, talk to me. Maybe you need to become a young adult leader. And we can work something out. But for reals, going back to this, we went bungee jumping. It was amazing, and I can say that because I'm alive. But I was legitimately terrified. Like, you don't really see my face too much in that video, but honest truth, internally, I was like freaking out. We had 11 jumpers. Actually, we had 12 people go because a mom watched her son jump and then she was like, I wanna do that. So she just walked over there and did it. It was amazing. But I'm leading this event and I planned the whole thing. And so everybody's kind of looking to me and I was one of the last people to go. And I was like, okay, the leader can't show fear or can't be afraid, which is wrong. But in my head, I'm like, okay, be cool, be cool, be cool, be cool, be cool. But I was not cool. Not to mention the guy that went before me, he jumped and he's coming up. I'm one of the last people to go. He comes up and he's just covered in blood. I know. Already I was like, okay, terrified. And then he comes up and I'm like, nah, man, nah. Like, come on. And I guess the rope had hit him and he had a bloody nose. He's fine. He's fine. We can laugh about it now. But there was like a little blood on my carabiner. Anyway, I was terrified, freaking out internally, but I'm trying to be cool. Back up the story a little bit. When we first get there, we walk up to the bridge. We're looking over the bridge. It's 300 feet. You fall just over 250 feet. Yeah, it's a rush. And so we're kind of all just really nervous. Usually I just giggle when I'm nervous. So I'm just kind of like, you know, like. And the workers there do this pump up speech. You know, they say, hey, you're going to be super safe. We'll take care of you. And they try to pump you up. And you guys, this speech was amazing. It might have been because I was in a bit of a vulnerable place emotionally because I'm about to jump off a perfectly good bridge. But this guy comes out. It's opening day, which didn't help the nerves. And as he's talking, I realized pretty quickly, dude, this guy is preaching. He's preaching. One of the main points that he says is once you get clipped in, you will need to walk on your own ability out through the gate that you saw me kind of go, so there's nothing stopping you from 300 feet of falling. You will need to go to the side and grab onto the handrail. And he said at that point, you need to take a few deep breaths. You look at the three sisters that are just right there, which is beautiful, but really I'm not focusing on that because, you know. And he said, when you're ready, I'll count down 3, 2, 1. And it's up to you to release control, to let go of the bar, and up to you to jump. He said, we will never push you. We will never force you to do it. This needs to be you because the point is you overcoming your fear. He said, everyone has fear in their life, and this is a chance to go toe-to-toe with your fear and face it. He gave this rendition of Nelson Mandela's quote saying that courage is not the absence of fear, but the willingness to overcome it. Bungee guy. This guy's a legend. Stories will be told of him. Like, I wanted to give him a job at a church. Like, if you just kind of weasel in, like, well, it's Jesus that gives you the courage and the strength, then we're golden. Like, he could be preaching. But I love what he said. You have to be the one that walks out on the ledge. You have to be the one that ultimately calms down, that faces the fear, takes a deep breath. You have to be the one that releases control and lets go of the bar. And ultimately, you have to be the one that steps off the platform and jumps. He was saying that fear is not something to avoid and run from always, but sometimes it's something that we need to face. Rich Velotis, a gifted pastor and author in New York, posted this recently. He said, fear, anger, and sadness are not negative emotions to avoid, but difficult emotions to aim towards God in prayer, patiently reflect on, and share with trusted companions. Spiritual wholeness is found in our willingness to integrate all of these realities in our life with God. We all have fears. Some of you just shouted them out, which was courageous. Most of us, when we think about our fears or what we probably shared, most of it was probably superficial fears, you know, snakes, spiders, legit as they may be. Beardless Rob now. But I want to turn the corner from superficial fears, and I want to talk about fear that holds you back from doing what God is calling you into with this question, what happens when God calls you into something that's scary? What happens when God calls you into something that's terrifying or scary? What happens when he calls you into something that you don't feel like you're enough or you don't have what it takes? You got the wrong person. There's no way I could do that. Maybe it's a financial fear that God calls you to do something with your money and it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. The numbers don't punch out. And yet God is calling you to do something with your money. Maybe it's a fear about your job, feeling like you want to leave, but you're feeling called to stay, or you want to stay, but God is calling you to leave. Maybe it's a fear of letting your friends know at school that you're a follower of Jesus. You're afraid of what they might say, how they might react, what they might do, what you might not be invited to. Or maybe it's a fear of confessing something to your spouse, to your parents, to a friend or a safe person. What happens when God calls you into something that's scary? Let's go to Luke 22. See what Jesus does. Luke 22, verse 39. Then accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. Pause there. We're picking up the story where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, or the Mount of Olives, and he's about to be handed over to be crucified. He knows his death, brutal death, is coming, and this is where we pick up the story. There he told them, talking disciples, pray that you will not give in to temptation. He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared, remember this, and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. This is God's word. This is a common passage. Many of you know it, but what I would like to submit to you this morning is that one of the emotions Jesus was feeling at this time was fear. Now, I want to be clear. Often when we think of fear, we think that fear is completely negative. We think it's a negative emotion. We usually believe that fear and faith are antithetical or contrasting each other. But I would argue that fear and faith can coexist with each other. In fact, having faith in the midst of fear is one of the most powerful acts of worship that we can do. Fear is often an unavoidable human response to circumstances. But how we respond to fear is usually where our faith is displayed. You tracking with me? So here's my argument and reasoning for why I believe Jesus was experiencing fear, why I spy fear in Jesus in this moment. So if you need these, track with me on this. The term used to describe Jesus at this time was agonia, when it says when he was in such agony. The term is agonia, which actually translates to great fear. Also means terror of death, anxiety, or agony. I believe that Jesus had fear because it literally says that he did. The term can be translated great fear. A second reason is Hebrews 4:14 says that Jesus is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. And this term weaknesses also can be translated our suffering. So it's safe to say that Jesus can sympathize with our suffering. And I believe that Jesus had fear because fear is a natural human reaction to anticipated suffering. I believe that Jesus had fear because fear is a natural human reaction to anticipated suffering. Philippians 2 tells us that Jesus was 100% God and also 100% human. And it is only human that when we're facing suffering that we will have fear. So I believe that Jesus was experiencing fear, one of the emotions, in the garden. Next logical question is, how did he handle it? What did Jesus do when God called him into something that was terrifying? What did Jesus do when God called him into something terrifying? I'm going to give you 17 steps that all start with the letter A, and I want you to memorize these, okay? Just kidding, of course, hopefully. Now, it's very simple. Jesus, when he was called by God to do something that was terrifying, Jesus faced his fear. He faced it. After asking the Father to take away his suffering, he followed it with, "Not my will, but yours be done," meaning, "I will do anything for you." That's a powerful thing. I'm terrified, and I will do anything for you. Jesus doesn't run from his fear. He doesn't deflect his fear, ignore his fear, numb his fear. He faces his fear. He goes toe to toe with his fear because that's what God is calling him into. He doesn't do what he wants to do, but he does what he wants him to do. When God calls us into something scary, may we have the courage to say yes and face our fear as Jesus did. Amen. But let's not stop there because it gets better. There's this beautiful thing that's only in the account of Luke. This story is found in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke. For whatever reason, it's not in John, but it's found in these three gospels where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And yet only in Luke does it say this in verse 43, "Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him." In the midst of Jesus's fear and grief, God doesn't abandon him. He doesn't say, "Good luck, you got this, champ." He doesn't say, "Hope for the best." He doesn't leave him. He meets him. He comforts him and he strengthens him. And what I've experienced in my own life, personally, is that when God calls me into something scary, if I have the courage to say yes, as Jesus did, that God will always walk through it with me and meet me on the other side. If there is one thing that you pull away from my message here this morning, it's this. If you're taking notes, take this. That if God calls you into something scary, something terrifying, something that brings up fear in you, if you have the courage to say yes to his calling and face your fear, God will always walk through it with you and meet you on the other side. I've been a pastor here at Salem Alliance for 12 years, just over 12 years. And for 7.5 of those years, I was a middle school pastor here. Any middle schoolers here right now? Anybody? Holla, okay, a couple of y'all, right on. There is something awesome about middle school. I loved it, for reals. Like, there's something sweet that's happening in middle school, in students' lives in that season, and I loved being a middle school pastor. I felt like, honestly, I did pretty well at it. I only had 2 workers' comp claims, and so I felt like I was, all right, I'm doing all right. But part of the job was I would preach and teach usually once or twice a week, lead worship, throw dodgeballs at students, kind of the usual. And I really did well. In fact, I came alive when I was put in front of people. Like, more people, the better. I loved it. I loved being thrown on the spot, kind of last minute, making up things. That's like how God has wired me and created me, and something would come alive in me when I did that. 5 years ago, I took this role as a young adults pastor position. And the it's a long story, but the short of it is basically I felt God calling me into this. It excited me, and so I said yes to that calling. The day they announced publicly that I was going to be the young adults pastor here, I had my very first anxiety and panic attack. Never experienced this before, except for one time when we had to abort a landing in the Middle East, but that was a different story, maybe another time. I've never experienced any fear when it came to being in front of people. It's a way that God has gifted me, called me, I come alive. And yet the day they announce it, I had a full-blown like anxiety, panic, can't breathe, tunnel vision, am I gonna puke or pass out, shaking. And I turned to my wife at the time, because I was going up to be prayed for, and I was like, I don't know what's happening. She gives me her water bottle so I could have something to like cling to, but I was not okay. And I wish I could say that this was like just a crazy fluke thing. Maybe I was just nervous, a lot of pressure or whatever. Just and there was pressure and all that, sure. But you guys, the last 5 years I've been riddled with this. I've been riddled and hammered with anxiety and panic attacks. I've had some moments of breakthrough. I've done tons of work on it. I've had some awesome deliverance in it, and yet it still rears its head up every once in a while. I've faced it sometimes, and other times I've fled from it. And I don't need to go into the reasons on why I feel like this happened. I feel like it's a multitude of things, but essentially God called me into this role and has gifted me, and it is just like the enemy to attack something that I feel like gives me life, or something that I'm good at, and that's how he works with all of us, right? Me leading worship the past 5 years has been a struggling journey of facing my fear, and I have very tangibly experienced the truth that God walks through these moments with me and meets me on the other side, but it has been brutal. A few months ago, I was asked to speak for this weekend, and if I'm honest, I was super tempted to have some excuses of why I couldn't be up here. The Olympics, like, I gotta watch them. I don't, you know, it's my dad's birthday yesterday, so I'm booked. You can clap for him. But there was this moment where I was looking at my boys just after they had asked me. I was looking at my sons, And I just realized I never want my sons to see their dad say no to God's calling because I'm afraid. That's not going to happen. So I don't care if I look like a fool. I don't care if I mess up. I don't care if I fail. They will never see their dad say no to God because of fear. Amen? And so I'm here on this stage right now in direct defiance of the enemy's fear over me. And I feel like 3 weeks ago I had a totally different message and I felt like he called me to speak this and I was like, sure, I don't want to be that vulnerable. And I felt like he said, I want you to do it. I'm here on the stage defying the enemy, asking you, what may God be calling you into that you're afraid of? What may God be calling you into that you're afraid of? You don't need to fear this question. God is for you, not against you. He has a plan and a purpose for you. You can trust in him. He loves you and he likes you. So if he calls you into something scary, don't run from it. Don't deflect it. Don't avoid it. Don't numb yourself from it. Face it as Jesus did in the garden, knowing that God, your Father, will walk through it with you and meet you on the other side. May you be a follower of Jesus who doesn't allow fear to dictate your life, but rather courageously says yes to God's invitation to step on the X, like I did in the bungee jumping, step on the X to let go of the bar, release control, and take a leap of faith. Will you pray with me? Oh, Holy Spirit, thanks for meeting me here. Thanks for meeting me this weekend. This has been about a 3-month journey. Specifically for this morning and prepping for this morning. And I thank you for that. I thank you for meeting me here and walking through this with me. And Holy Spirit, for those that are in this room that I've been asking this question of what may God be calling you into that you're afraid of. For some of us in this room, there's this very specific thing, a very specific step. So Holy Spirit, with the courage and the strength that you have given me to walk forward and to say yes for this weekend, I pray that blessing over those right now. Holy Spirit, will you anoint them with that power, with that strength, with that courage to walk in your calling? It's because of you that we do this, not for any other reason. We trust you. Will you strengthen us? We know that you are for us, not against us, Holy Spirit. Thanks for meeting us here. In your name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.